Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Terrace Talk. The games in the Championship just don't let up, do they? Norwich City, 10 points from a possible 12, 4 unbeaten, and they travel to Bristol City this weekend. Although I forgive you if you can't quite keep up with who they're playing and when at the moment. It is a little bit like that. We're going to be previewing the game on Saturday with the caveat that we are recording this before Bristol City's trip to Bournemouth. So whatever Toby says in the next half an hour or so could be massively outdated by the time this goes live, but hopefully not. Joining us, as I said, is Bristol City presenter and commentator as well, Toby Osborne, and we're also joined by Norwich City fan James Myhill. Gents, thank you very much for joining us. Toby, we'll start to you with you, because obviously you've got that game tonight, as I mentioned, without a win in three, so that could change it a little bit tonight. But injury problems seem to be mounting up for you guys at the minute.
Yeah, big time. Bristol City, well, made some pretty sort of shrewd signings in the summer, but the last week have. Whilst we had a midfield that was full of talent, and we kind of leaned that out slightly and let a few players go out on loan to various different clubs, we're now in a situation where we have a bit of a defensive crisis, which is then turning into a midfield crisis as well. So, our loan signings from Fulham in the summer, Alfie Mawson and Steven Sessegnon, both have pulled up with long-term injuries in the last week, as has Andy Vyman as well. So, whilst Andy Vyman is a bit of a Marmite character among some fans, he is pretty influential. So we're gutted to be losing him as well. So yeah, light on the ground, but hopefully tonight we can get the result leading into Saturday.
Yeah, Norwich fans can certainly sympathise with a defensive crisis, can't they, James? after last season in the Premier League, James, let's come to you then to reflect on last night's game against Brentford. I've been fairly surprised at how split, not necessarily the result has been received, but certainly the performance. How did you view that game? It felt to me kind of like maybe a point gain for Norwich City, but equally I do understand the frustration surrounding the performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was a frustrating performance for me to sort of watch last night, because we sort of weren't really on the top form, and the performance seemed to lack a little bit of empathy during the game. But I mean, to be honest with you, a point at Brentford, I'm sort of very pleased with. I know sort of maybe a few years ago when we were in the Championship, I probably wouldn't have said that. I sort of want to go for the 3 points, but I think it extends our run sort of going as we are. But looking forward, I think there was a few sort of performances in there that I didn't really sort of fancy. I mean, Cantwell was for once. I think Farke said that he took him off because he didn't sort of play sort of best half of football. But I mean, we had chances in that game, and I think it's not always going to fall to us, like McLean's sort of shot towards the last few minutes of the game. It's not always going to fall to those chances to us to sort of put them away and then just scrape away with a point or 3 points. We need to be a lot more dominant in the performances and actually convert the chances as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel like luck is on their side at the minute, which maybe is of benefit after last season. They certainly didn't have any in the Premier League, maybe beyond that Manchester City game. But we won't harp on about the Premier League. James, just on last night, if we look at that in a bit more depth, it was, again, a performance maybe that showed signs of Norwich's squad beginning to tire a little bit. Obviously, Javi Quintia pulled out at the last minute. A few of those players sort of went down with cramp fairly late on as well. It looks like the schedule maybe is catching up with the squad a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is the tough rigours of the Championship. Everyone sort of knows it's such a tough league to get out of, and obviously with the amount of games that there are, ultimately we are sort of going to pick up injuries, especially with how quick the games come in sort of quick succession. I think I don't think it highlights for me, obviously, that there's sort of fitness sort of issues, but I think it does sort of rely on having a good sort of squad rotation. Because at the minute we're quite lucky we've got a good squad, but actually you can kind of sub people in, sub people out, and you know you're not going to sort of get a drop in performance. But obviously I think somewhere which might creep up on us again, I think we've mentioned this before, Connor, definitely you and I, that defensively we're still very short in terms of centre-backs. I know obviously we lost Godfrey, we've got Gibson in, but we're still obviously down to the bare bones at the back, and I don't really think that, I think that might sort of come to bite us a little bit in the coming weeks, and especially sort of in the run-up to Christmas as well.
Yeah, and Toby mentioned injuries at the start of the show. Let's hope that Javi Quinteros isn't too bad, because otherwise we are looking at a defensive reshuffle, particularly in the left back position for Norwich. Toby, let's talk about Bristol City then. Their start, it was what, four wins from the opening four games. It looked fairly positive, and then the last three haven't maybe sort of yielded the same results as the start. Is this kind of a natural drop off for Bristol City, and is the key to whether or not they're going to be successful this season, is that going to come in the response? Obviously, two big games against newly relegated opposition in Bournemouth and Norwich to come.
Yeah, I think, well, the opening four games showed that we do have the quality there to mount a charge, certainly for the playoffs this season, which is essentially what our aim is. I think automatic spots will obviously be a bit of a push as we push to try and get in the Premier League for the first time. It's many years of hurt, unfortunately, for Bristol City fans. But yeah, I mean, the start would have been a lot better had we obviously picked up our first draw after the first four wins against Barnsley. Pretty unfair refereeing decision, literally about 8 minutes into injury time at the end of the second half, meant that Barnsley nicked a point off of us. And then a huge defensive error from Taylor Moore, unfortunately, against Neil Warnock's Middlesbrough at home, meant that we lost that game. So it's been kind of down to sort of slight errors that has meant we haven't picked up more points. I think the toughest opposition that we've faced this season have been Swansea, most recently picked up a decent draw at home. And I think that result would have been better received had we not dropped points in those previous two fixtures. But I think, yeah, as you say, tonight's game is going to be a big test just against players that have played in the Premier League. It's going to be the same with yourselves on Saturday as well, and that's going to be a real test. And when you lose the likes of Alfie Mawson, who's used to coming up against those kinds of players, we've got two fairly young, inexperienced, we play five at the back generally, two young, fairly inexperienced left centre-back and a right centre-back, and then we have Thomas Kalas through the middle of defence. So it'll be interesting to see how they cope with the better attacking teams over the course of the next week. But by and large, we obviously had a change of manager in the summer. Lee Johnson left his position. Dean Holden's come in. He was assistant to Lee Johnson prior to that. But there's a sort of different style of management, more kind of arm around the shoulder, I think, with players. He's got two very experienced England youth coaches that are his assistants, who I think take a lot of the kind of tactical coaching sessions, and then Dean Holden sort of spearheads that management team. So far, so good. I think it surprised a lot of City fans, because a lot of City fans wanted Chris Hughton was the number one choice over the summer. And for whatever reason, that didn't materialise. And then the owners went with Dean Holden. But he's saying all the right things and doing all the right things. But yeah, be interesting to see how they respond tonight. And I think that'll be a kind of a judgment as to where we are, because we always start brightly and then it seems to just peel away after Christmas. That's generally been the story of the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I know that you guys were very streaky under Lee Johnson. You go through long spells of maybe being unbeaten and then long spells without a win, which isn't necessarily ideal, particularly in a division where you probably need to be a bit consistent. You referenced the change of management there. Dean Holden, obviously, coming in for Lee Johnson, his assistant. We've seen quite a few internal appointments in the EFL this summer, and whether that's because of finances or not, I guess we'll never know. But have you seen a marked sort of change in terms of the style of play that Dean Holden is trying to execute? You referenced the three at the back. Is that something that is fairly similar to what Lee Johnson tried to do, or is he trying to sort of take the club and the side in a bit of a different direction?
Yeah, there has been a shift. I think the biggest thing with Dean Holden has just been his consistency in the formation that we play. It's those three centre-backs and the two flying wing-backs Generally, it's a young lad called Tyreek Backinson who sits as a sort of holding midfielder, and then Patterson, Vyman, slightly advanced from him, and then the two forwards. So kind of a 5-3-2. But he's been really consistent since the restart, because that's when he initially came in on a temporary basis and then got the full-time job. And that was the main criticism under Lee Johnson, was just the inconsistency in the formation that he was playing. He never seemed set on a particular sort of strategy, really. And Dean Holden, ever since that point, has strictly played that formation. Prior to the last game, I think he'd only made five changes or something like that since he, you know, began, I think, in his first 10 games as manager of the club. But he was forced to kind of make changes for the last game through injury and stuff. But I think by and large, last season, City were making, they gained more points on the road, where teams were sort of coming onto them a bit more and they could catch them on the counter-attack. This season, and last season, they were generally struggling at home when teams were sitting back and they didn't necessarily have the creativity to kind of break them down. But Dean Holden's not been afraid to sort of switch things up mid-game. We're quite reliant on those sort of flying wing-backs. But the players are playing with a bit more freedom now. They look a lot more confident under Dean Holden, trying things. And the main thing last season as well, just barely picking up any sort of shots on target at all. It was really quite poor towards the end of the season, really lacking any creativity. But we brought in Chris Martin from Derby County on a free during the summer. And he's become a fan favourite already. He seems to be the man that kind of orchestrates all things good for us at the moment.
Yeah, Chris Martin, a man that Norwich know well. I'm going to ask you about him a little bit later on. James, we heard from Toby there, Bristol City's expectation maybe of trying to challenge for the top six. There's plenty of expectation at Norwich City, and we won't go into Keira Knightley or a fictional character named Julie necessarily. But what have you made of this kind of... I'll describe it as a bit of an arm wrestle between expectation and performances. I think a lot of people at the moment are kind of saying that Norwich's performances aren't necessarily where they need to be, but yet they're still picking up points. Is that just a byproduct of the expectation and the increased expectation we're seeing on the group? Or do you feel that there does need to be a bit more of a marked improvement in terms of performances in the weeks to come?
I think that at the moment, the performances are okay, sort of as they are. They're not kind of cutting edge just yet. I mean, we've seen sort of multiple times, obviously, Rančić popping up, obviously, with sort of very key goals. But I mean, the expectation, obviously, for myself would sort of be, and I think probably a lot of fans are, the performances at the moment haven't been sort of very sort of top gear just yet. But as you say, you know, we're still picking up points. We're still going through this period of where we're picking up 3 points. We're grabbing a late equaliser with Brentford, you know. And I think that for us, if we carry on sort of going where we are, then I think we'll sort of happily sort of go along. But it's the old kind of cliche thing in football that obviously if you sort of scrape wins, you know, scrape points away from home, you know, last minute winners, it's championships sort of winners, playoffs, kind of that kind of form. You know, we saw it several times during our sort of title winning season, where actually how many times were we sort of behind, the performances weren't really sort of up to par. And then obviously there would always be someone there to sort of pop up, Pukki, you know, and there's anyone at all would always kind of just drive us forward, and they would give us that little bit of that extra belief. I think that in expectations, I think we can sort of expect to be sort of playoffs at the moment. I would sort of see us sort of aiming towards the playoffs, obviously, for this season. I don't see that there's sort of any reason why we can't sort of be challenging for those top two positions, but it's still very, very early doors at the moment. And everyone knows the first sort of 10 games or so in the Championship are always sort of a bit manic. And I think we'll, you know, time will tell in the next few weeks. I think in the next month as well, I think once we get to sort of December and into that sort of Christmas period, that will sort of determine where we sort of end up in my view, because I think after where you are after a certain amount of games is not very, very rarely far from where you are actually sort of finishing up with. But I think in the sort of grand scheme of things at the moment, that as you say, the performances aren't quite there. We're not at our sort of key best, but I still think we're getting away with things. I think we're still kind of happily going along and not really sort of hitting top gear just yet.
Yeah, and I don't think there are many teams in the Championship, maybe with the exception of Reading at the moment, who have certainly started exceptionally, who are playing in top gear. And of course, you have to remember as well, and it's the same for every team, but Norwich didn't have a pre-season. They obviously tried to change their squad a lot. Daniel Farke's probably trying to introduce a lot of new things as well. And equally, they're kind of trying to do that all whilst trying to win games. And also while trying to sort of do that in a really condensed schedule. I mean, it's tight in the Championship anyway, but particularly at the moment, it's Saturday, Tuesday for however many weeks. It's going to be really interesting to see how they get on. In terms of Norwich as well, there's obviously the debate around Quintier. If he isn't fit for Saturday's game, what do Norwich look to do defensively? Because for all of the coverage that perhaps their lack of depth at centre half has got, equally they don't necessarily have that at left back either. We saw Jakob Sorensen fill in last night, very last minute, did quite well for that game. How do you see Daniel Farke sort of going in for this game and in the future as well, if Xavi Quintier isn't fit for Saturday?
I think if Quintier's not fit on Saturday, it certainly throws us a bit of a conundrum, as I say, because left back availability with Sam McCallum going out on loan back out to Coventry. It does sort of leave us short in that sort of position. But I think formation-wise, I would probably even look at sort of the 3-5-2. I don't think there's any reason why that wouldn't work. You had sort of Gibson with Hanley and possibly with Sorensen as well. You know, he proved that, you know, he can fill that sort of left-back void. I know he's just thrown into the sort of the first team at the, I think it was with a 2 or 3 minutes notice. I think he was sort of given the nod. But he performed really well. And I think with 3-5-2, that kind of offers us that bit of sort of protection, obviously, with five in midfield, especially with Rupp. I think Rupp has, obviously, for the formation-wise, I think he's been very sort of unfairly treated, I think, by a lot of the fans, because he was, I think he's sort of probably been a bit of the scapegoat, you know, when obviously the performances weren't quite there. But he really has, I think, really performed really well this season. So I don't see any reason why not sort of keep him in the side, keep him sort of flowing. And obviously with the sort of top two as well, you know, with Hugill played brilliantly well. Pukki, for me, obviously Pukki's not firing really on all cylinders at the moment. But I think the sort of pressure's off him a little bit because he's not expected to get the goals every single game. There is obviously, there's Hugill there, there's Ida as well. So I think 3-5-2 would probably be a good formation because it kind of offers a lot of flexibility for us. And obviously it can always be changed mid-game. But I think given the current status with our defensive crisis, with sort of Zimmerman out and now obviously Quintier potentially out as well, I think that quite offers us a lot of dynamic flow and a dynamic route in the game.
There's always a defensive crisis at Norwich City, isn't there? I've done this job for about a year now. I don't think we're yet to have a period without a defensive crisis, but I'll look forward to it.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
When it's not the case. Toby, you mentioned Chris Martin. He's obviously a player that Norwich City fans know well. He had a fairly decent spell with the club, particularly during their League One title winning season almost over 10 years ago now, which is turning the clock back a little bit. He's sort of turned up at Bristol City. It's fair to say perhaps from the outside people weren't really sure what to make of him going there, but he's actually been a bit of an assist machine. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, so four assists so far this season. Sorry, the sun has just randomly come out of nowhere.
Four assists. Bristol City for this weekend. That's what he's doing.
There you go. It's an omen.
Yeah, absolutely. Four assists so far this season, a couple of goals as well. He's forming a nice partnership we've kind of got a nice quartet of strikers in Naki Wells, Famara Jeju, and then the young a young sort of rising star, if you like, that's attracted a lot of interest from the likes of Chelsea, Antoine Semenyo as well. So they're forming quite a nice sort of quartet that kind of been rotating so far this season. But yeah, he's been in the side. He was kind of, by and large, fairly ineffective against Swansea. I wonder whether that was just maybe games kind of catching up on him maybe slightly. as Dean Holden, because he was playing so well, was just keeping him in the side and the sort of rotating Wells and Semenyo. But yeah, brilliant. And he's kind of the pivot for that midfield as well. Obviously less numbers in the middle of midfield, which means he's become a real asset, dropping short and kind of holding the ball up. And he rarely seems to lose the ball. The ball just seems to stick to his feet at the moment, which is good. And I think, yeah, Bristol City fans didn't expect an awful lot when he came in the summer. Obviously, he picked up a decent number. I think he hit double figures for Derby last season. So it's not like he went amiss or anything like that. And I think a lot of Derby fans were unhappy, you know, that he didn't end up staying. I think he was offered another contract with Derby County, but decided to move on to Pastures New. And he's on a 2-year deal and seems to be firing on all cylinders, and hopefully he can do the same again tonight.
Yeah, you seem to have got sort of an old-fashioned big man, little man partnership between him and Naki Wells. And Naki Wells did pretty well at QPR as well as part of a similar sort of setup with obviously Jordan Hugill, who now finds himself at Norwich. So is that something that Bristol City have looked to try and utilise at the top end of the pitch? Chris Martin's sort of, I don't want to say playmaking abilities, because that might be overstating or understating it, I'm not sure. But certainly his sort of capabilities in the air and his ability to tee up Naki Wells, who by all accounts is someone who's a bit of a consistent finisher at this level, I'd say.
Yeah, I think they complement each other quite nicely. I don't think Chris Martin almost plays in a bit of a, he's just a more of an unselfish striker. Naki Wells is just desperate to find the net and looks furious with himself if he comes off at the end of the game and he hasn't scored or is substituted with 15 minutes to go, which is a great character trait to have. And the two of them are keeping Zsézsa out the side, who's been our sort of top scorer the last two seasons. Similar player to Zsézsa, Chris Martin in some respects. His touch maybe just slightly edges Zsézsa. That's where he struggles maybe sometimes in kind of linking up play in the sort of final third, Zsézsa. But we've got four quite different strikers, really. Zsézsa offers loads defensively. He kind of tracks back and is crucial at corners, defensive corners for Bristol City, does so much to help out that back five. Martin, obviously, we've spoken about, and Wells is a real finisher. And then Semenyo is this sort of similar, probably not quite as tall as those two target men, but really strong, quick and powerful. He's just, his decision making maybe not quite there just yet, and will come. He's only 20 or so, will come, and he's obviously learning from some pretty experienced strikers, so hopefully he'll come on this season as well.
Yeah, it's certainly a good sort of host of options that Dean Holden has at his disposal up front at the moment. James, we've spoken about maybe the quality of Norwich City's performances. Going into this weekend, where would you really like to see them improve? You've referenced defensively. Is that the area you think? I mean, when I think of the last three goals conceded, obviously the one against Brentford, which came, although was a very good counter-attack, I actually watched it back this morning, and very effective in the way they moved the ball and how quickly they did it. But it all stems from a Norwich City throw-in. Obviously, Wickham's goal, which comes from a bit of hesitation from Grant Hanley and maybe Tim Krul as well, although that might be a bit harsh. And then obviously Freddie Ladapo's goal, which comes from an error as well. So the goals Norwich City are conceding aren't necessarily because teams are playing through them or outworking them.
No, because I think if you were poor defensively, obviously they would be cutting through you every single attack that they had. And the fact is, as you say, Wickham didn't really cut through us at all. Brentford obviously had opportunities, but only because Norwich left the door open for them. So I think that's somewhere we've got to try and improve on. I don't know whether it's a communication thing at the back or not, but obviously it just seems that any sort of set piece, Norwich tend to switch off. And that's it. It's that split second of switching off, obviously, will sort of punish us. And the same happened last night against Brentford. Wickham as well. Was it really switching off? Was it a communication thing? But I don't know whether it's obviously nervousness as well. But I think for us, I don't think there's anything wrong with, the other areas of the pitch, the attacking side, the midfield. I think we're quite sort of strong in those sort of areas. It's just the set pieces, the dead ball situations is where we've been caught out. I know we referenced last year, but we said it last year, we said it the championship the year before, and we're still sat here saying it now, that obviously it's the dead ball situations that are costing us. And the only reason that it mattered before, or didn't, it doesn't matter before, is obviously because we were outscoring the opposition. You know, we were scoring sort of many a goals. If you take about like Millwall, if you think in the Championship, our winning season, the title winning season, you know, we conceded three, but that's okay, we scored four. So everyone thought, oh, well, that's fine. You know, there's you know, we're outscoring the opposition, but those defensive frailties are still there. So I think mainly sort of areas we always refer to as Norwich fans, it's just the defensive areas we've got to worry about, because we will get punished.
Yeah, I was trying to think about this the other day. I think in my lifetime, there's only been sort of one Norwich team that I can really look at as being fairly decent defensively, which maybe says something. That was Nigel Worthington's title-winning season. So that really is takes some doing, unless you've got something to prompt me. But that really is it, I think. If we turn our attentions to the top end of the pitch, Daniel Farke sort of tried playing with Jordan Pugel and Timo Pukki. It didn't really maybe have the sparks that some people wanted to see. He then obviously put Mario Vrančić in that number 10 position last night at Brentford. Which way do you think he'll go against Bristol City? I guess some of it might be influenced by the fact Adam Eder's also suspended for the next two games, served the first of his free match against Brentford. Is that an area where you would like Norwich City to try and persist with Timo Pukki and Jordan Hugill, or actually, do you try and maybe sacrifice Hugill in order to get Mario Vrančić into the team? Because it's clear that Daniel Farke sees him as a number 10 at the moment.
I think it's difficult because a lot of fans obviously pinned a lot of hopes on Pukki. You know, he scored a lot of goals in the Championship, scored a few for us in the Premier League. And everyone's hoping, oh, he's dropped back down to the Championship with Norwich. You know, we'll obviously be able to carry on where he left off. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing for him at the moment, but if it was me, I would sort of drop Pukki for the minute. I think Hugill is fine, obviously, as he is up top. But I think it's a service thing as well for him. We know, obviously, what a good header of the ball he is. You know, we've not really sort of utilised that at the moment. But it's probably a very unpopular opinion, but I would like to see Mario start, you know, as much as the next person. But obviously, last night when I saw the team, that was great. He's starting, but I just don't think that at the moment it suits the kind of style of play for us to start him right from the very beginning or the first minute. I think he's fine to come on as a super sub. Now, that might change given if Farke decides to sort of change it up a little bit. But I think at the moment, Cantwell's fine, obviously, in the number 10 position. And I think with Cantwell, obviously, and Hugill and Pukki and Eder, he's proved that he can sort of really pick out the passes and find them. So I think it'd be silly to sort of change it at the moment. But obviously for me going into the weekend, I would obviously keep with Cantwell, drop Pukki and have Hugill up top.
Oh, you're a madman, James. Brave, yeah, we'll go with Brave. Toby, if and I always ask our sort of opposition guys who we get on to answer a similar question, but if you're Daniel Farke for a moment and you're standing there in your green, black Parker, whichever one of choice, how do you look to beat Bristol City? What are the areas of the pitch that you'd probably look to exploit?
Oh, this is tough given the game away. I think at the moment, I mean, Thomas Kalas has come back in at the perfect time, really, given that Alfie Mawson is now injured. Maybe still sort of a slight bit of inexperience and weakness in terms of our left centre-back, right centre-back, the two that sit either side of Thomas Kalas. Defensively as well, the wing-backs, we kind of, now Sessegnon's out, generally it's going to be Jack Hunt, who sometimes from a defensive perspective, he's kind of reaching the twilight area of his career, if you like. So maybe slowing up down that right-hand side, well, your left-hand side, if you like. And then there's maybe the inexperience of Backinson in midfield slightly as well. Chris Brunt, I think, will probably start again tonight, who we obviously brought in on a free from West Brom in the summer. But yeah, Tyreek Backinson, sometimes his kind of concentration maybe for the full 90 minutes isn't necessarily there. And yeah, I think that, you know, this Bristol City side capable of kind of switching off maybe at the vital moments and there being the odd mistake that sneaks in and has cost us points, was cost us about 4 points so far this season. I mentioned obviously the Barnsley result and the Middlesbrough result as well. So yeah, maybe just a slight bit of inexperience to capitalise on.
And how do you see Bristol City approaching this one against Norwich? Because you said you harbour ambitions of being in the top six. We've seen teams, maybe with the exception of Preston and Brentford, be very respectful to Norwich and maybe put men behind the ball, which Norwich have found difficult, but maybe not as difficult as when teams, as James has alluded to, have really got at them. Which direction do you think Bristol City will go on Saturday?
Well, Dean Holden's made it clear from the start that whilst he'll be respectful to other teams, it's down to City to play their style of football. They don't necessarily want to have to react to the way another side is playing. I think now we've lost Andy Vyman. He's so important from us from a sort of he provides so much energy. He's pressing. He runs consistently like a madman for the full 90 minutes, and to lose him is really quite a significant blow for us. So it now falls to the likes of Callum O'Dowda, who's maybe not hit the dizzy heights that some may have expected, for Bristol City to kind of come in and really step up to the mark. But I think City will look to play their own game whilst giving Norwich respect. But I think, yeah, I think they'll come to get a result. And I think on the road, generally, Bristol City against stronger teams have actually been quite, you know, successfully in recent years. And they are really capable of pulling off a bit of a shock result. I know our form against Norwich is pretty poor. I'm not sure we've beaten you since 2009 or something like that. But I know last season it was 2-2 at Carrow Road. And I think we went behind and then O'Dowda actually scored quite a good goal minutes later, like literally 30 seconds later or something like that. So yeah, we're capable of producing some pretty decent performances. But it's the consistency, I guess.
Interesting. James, let's come to you then as we begin to sort of round off our discussion on this game. How do you see it going from Norwich's perspective? And of course, I am going to ask you, I'm afraid, for the dreaded score prediction. I don't know how many of these you've listened to this season, but I think with the exception of Mike, who is on to preview Brentford, I think he's the only one that's predicted a Norwich City win in a game so far this season. So I'm hoping you'll be a bit more optimistic.
I can be a bit more optimistic. Whether it'll be truthful or not is another question. I think we are going to concede against Bristol City. I think it's just the Norwich way. You know, I don't think we're going to go to a place like Bristol City and sort of keep a clean sheet. I would go, I think, for 2-1 to Norwich. Because I think, again, I think the luck will just be with us one last time. I think just to sort of get a last minute goal. I mean, I'm hoping it doesn't go right into like the 89th or 90th minute this time, so I don't think my heart can take it along with the other Norwich City fans. But I think for me, with 2-1, I don't know if this is everyone else's view, but it always seems that Norwich don't start to play until the other team score, and then obviously kind of ramps them up a little bit and then go, right, well, we actually need to start playing properly now. So I think it'll probably be 1-0 to Norwich at half time, and then we'll finish up 2-1 victors at the end, I hope.
It will certainly be nice not to have a late goal, because I probably have had to change my match report 3 or 4 times this season because of late goals. So let's hope that's not the case. And of course, for people's heart rates, as you mentioned, James. Toby, from a Bristol City perspective, again, same question really. How do you see this game going? And of course, the score prediction.
Well, Bristol City generally like a late goal, so that's probably not a good thing.
I'll tell you what, we'll all switch off till 85 minutes. How about that? And then tune in and see where the game's at.
Yeah, absolutely. And generally, Bristol City, they do turn up when the Sky cameras are there as well. So that's maybe a good omen as well. But I think, yeah, it'd be nice to pick up. In an ideal world, I could see us picking up four points from this week. And I'd probably go, I think if we nick a draw tonight, and then I could see us, winning maybe 2-1. So I'll reverse that from you, James, and make it 2-1 Bristol City with a late winner.
Brilliant. Late winners all round. Let's hope so. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you very much for watching or listening, if you're listening to this as a podcast. Of course, pinken.com, the place to go. We'll be at Ashton Gate on Saturday. It's a long old trip for Norwich. I think it's probably going to be an overnight job for us as well. So let's hope Norwich can produce a performance worthy of that. Of course, you guys will be watching from home and whatnot as well, which hopefully will change in the not so distant future. thank you very much for watching. Make sure you stay safe. We'll be back with one of these again very, very soon. Of course, we do it all again on Tuesday as Norwich welcome Millwall to Carrow Road. So we'll be back before you know it. But of course, all eyes on this weekend. Thank you very much for watching.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.